Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain, left me feeling ashamed, out in the rain, can't explain the pain, how I stay sane, don't like the game, will it ever change? Greetings, everyone. I am Dr. Tommy Watson, and welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from adversity and failure to go and live the best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway. We believe everyone has a story to tell and sell. You want to learn how to tell and sell your story? Go to tawatson.com under the programs and product page and click on Million Dollar Business Pathway to get yourself started. So, folks, are you guys ready for another amazing and exciting program today? Joining me, I have the one and only Danielle Thompson. How are you, Danielle?
I'm doing well, Dr. Tommy. Thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate you so much.
It's an honor to have you. So I'm looking forward to hearing more about your story. And for the folks out there, Danielle, who may not necessarily know who you are, why don't you tell them who you are and where they can get a hold of you at and find you?
I'm Danielle Thompson. You can find me. I'm all across the social media platform. So at Miss Real Estate SD, the name of my company is Tryson Rocco Investments, Inc. So at Tryson Rocco on IG, Danielle Thompson on Facebook, and Tryson Rocco on LinkedIn. So that's where you can find me.
Awesome. Everywhere. She's made it very, very easy for you guys to follow her as well. And I understand that there may be a book coming out someday. So you guys make sure you follow her and be on the listening out for that possible book in the near future as well.
Yes.
So, Danielle, it's an honor to have you on. As you know, our podcast centers on bringing amazing people like yourself on and having you tell your story about, you know, one of your most difficult times. And I've had the privilege of hearing a little bit about your story, but our audience has not. So why don't you tell us about one of the most difficult times? You said it was July 11, 2006. What was the date?
July 6, 2011.
6, 2011.
Yes, that was.
And what happened on that day?
That was the day I began living in my 2002 Ford Explorer Sport. And that was a day that I'll never forget. As you can see, I could tell you the date. In the time, and I didn't know what to expect. And so I had some issues with some family members and where I was going to live at the time. I was going to school to study for real estate and just take some more classes that I had to take. And I was working at Victoria's Secret, but I was like, it was on call. So I was like in transition to find another position. Sure. And so for about the first 2 months, I didn't have any job or any income coming in. And then I worked for a place called Java Mama. It was a coffee shop geared for children and parents.
Wow.
And so I worked there for pretty much the majority of the time that I was living in my car, which was a year and 9 months.
Wow.
And I would go and sleep in my car at a Shelter Island, College Grove Plaza, the areas where Walmart is, Choyas Lake. And there'd be times where I would have to wash up in the car if I didn't have funds to go get a motel or anything like that. And it was one of the hardest times mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, like physically, it weighs on you heavily. It definitely weighs on you heavily.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I really appreciate you being transparent about your story, Danielle. And, you know, for many folks out there listening, they probably heard of people being in homeless situations. Many people think that, you know, the way it's been depicted upon television, you have to be some type of person who was involved in drugs or been a bad person and you end up homeless. So you kind of deserve it, which is unfortunate. That's never the case. No one ever deserves to be homeless, but you were a person who was going to school and trying to get things done the right way, trying to go for your real estate exam license as well. And you find yourself in a homeless situation. So talk to us about some of the feelings that you had to endure when you said that first night, I'm sitting in my car and I'm thinking to myself, There ain't no going home to mama's house. There ain't no going back to sister's house. This is where I'm probably going to have to lay my head at tonight and probably beyond. Talk to us about the feelings that hit you when you're in that situation.
I think the first initial thought was shock. I was shocked and sad. Yeah. And then a bit of confusion, like what to do next. Yeah. Then I applied for EBT so I can at least have some food.
Sure.
And there was one day, and it was, I want to say maybe 2 weeks into it. When I was at Shelter Island, I had a little personal grill and I just went to go get some food and stuff. I had a couple of people that I knew that were with me. And these two homeless dudes came and they were like, hey, can we have some food? And we didn't even set up anything just yet. We just had the grill. And I was like, okay, yeah, you know, once we get everything done, we'll do that. Mm-hmm. And so we just had some hot links. I'll never forget, it was some hot links. Mm-hmm. And I went to go speak with them and I gave them some food. And I asked him, he was like, yeah, you know, I've been homeless for like 11 years. And he was very content and happy. Like he didn't have any plans on doing anything about that. And I was like, we had a great conversation, but I was like, Lord, if this is foreshadowing my life, this is not what I want.
Sure.
Because I couldn't see myself living in my car for 11 years. I was like, what's going on? And I think I asked him a few questions on, you know, what he wants to do. Why was he okay with living that way? And some people are just content with that. So that was one of the stories, like very, like in the beginning that I remember. I'll never forget that guy. And I was like, Lord, I can't do 11 years. Please have mercy on me.
Absolutely. So, you know, that first day you said you were in shock. So 2 weeks later, you're still in the car. 3 weeks later, you're still in the car. A month later, you're still in the car. What are some of the emotions? Were you getting angry? I mean, what did you?
Angry. I was upset. Of course, by then, I ended up, like I said, I had a job. I was going on interviews. So you have to compose yourself for everyday life, right? Nobody knew what I was going through. But absolutely, I carried a lot of anger.
Sure.
I carried a lot of animosity, resentment.
Towards who?
You know, my family and the world. I was just angry at everybody. You know, I was angry at the world. I was just like, and then angry at myself too, because it was like, how did I let myself get into this situation?
Right.
You know, and so I wouldn't say it's just a plethora of different emotions that I experienced. It was just, but I know anger was on that, the top of the list for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I can see that for sure. You know, so as you're going through this situation, talk to us about how you managed to cope. What were the coping skills that you turned to kind of keep you going?
Prayer. I want to say that's the main thing that I would have, just talking to God. And I'm like, I know it may be hard to believe, but I am like an introvert. So I didn't like surrounding myself with a lot of people. So if I'm hurting, it's not misery loves company in my, you know, over here. I'll just suffer by myself. So being in my car, I will say this. I did feel the most free, if that makes sense.
Sure.
And not bound by anything. So I love the beach. So going to sit by the water and all that stuff. I was with someone at the time. So here and there, he would, you know, be there with me and all that stuff, whatever. But if we're talking about what really helped me get through things, I have to say that it was prayer and just trusting in God, because trusting in the Lord, because there's no way I would have got through that. There's absolutely no way.
Absolutely.
I felt alone.
Yeah. That right there is the can't turn to another better coping mechanism than turning to prayer and God. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You
know,
so as you're going through this for a year and 9 months, did you ever have any mentors or guides to kind of help you get out of this situation? Anyone know who was a big benefit?
No one. So my family knew. My aunt, we were very close at the time, and she's very spiritual. So she would offer words of encouragement. We would have long talks. My dad would, I would have talks with my dad, even though I was in the process of building a relationship with my dad. My dad and I growing up, we bumped heads. And I think because we have similar personalities, sure. But I'm also like a vocal woman. And so, you know, how that goes. But at the same time, even though we would bump heads, I just wasn't afraid to speak about how I felt. I'm very in tune with my emotions. Mm-hmm. And so we would have talks and stuff, and he and his sister, which was my aunt, they don't know this, but they were saying kind of the same things and like really kind of speaking life into me, even right. though at the time I was just like, yeah.
Right.
I'm living in my car. You guys can go in your house.
Right. Absolutely.
I miss the walking on carpet in your feet. You know, it started to get like that, you know, your feet on the carpet going through your toes. I missed that. And I was just like, so
So folks, I want you guys to get this. She was living in her car, working to become a real estate, a realtor.
Yes.
And she had no home. So she had a vision to give other people a home. And she had no home. So that's really powerful. It really says right. a lot while you're in the business. So, you know, as you look back on your darkest day, what kept you from giving up? Because there are people in those situations who they say, this is it, I'm done.
I did have those thoughts, but let me tell you this, in conjunction with that and the coping skills, giving back. When I was at that the Java Mama place that I worked, I was like a utility person. I can do a lot of things. So I have a degree in culinary arts. So I worked in the barista part. I was the supervisor of the like play area. And just like anytime they needed me to do something, I was there to do it. And I built relationships with these people, taking care of their children in the little play area, speaking with the, you know, the parents and all that stuff. I actually started to do a culinary cooking class for children for 2 years and up, because at one point in time, my niece loved to cook with me. And I thought that was so awesome. And I feel like it's a skill that, you know, we all, you know, you need to learn how to cook on your own when you grow up and all that stuff. So helping people and serving people and having that servitude attitude, regardless of what I was going through and how hard it was. Mm-hmm. That's what kind of like got me through, and not wanting to, you know, take my life or anything besides, you know, praying and all that stuff, but having that servitude and giving back. I didn't have nothing to give, but I gave my time to help people. Yeah, and
absolutely.
Yeah. So
awesome. What a great learning tool during that moment there. So how would you say this whole ordeal shaped you today? How to shape who you were?
What's the name of the podcast? Like resilient, resilient. I won't let anything get me down. Like if I can go through that, that was one of the darkest times in my life.
That's right.
And it just gives me fuel. It gives me fire. It gives me hope and faith to keep moving. And just like, no matter what, you got to keep going. You don't give up, because even though we can't see the end of the tunnel, the light at the end of the tunnel sometimes, and it gets hard, if we really trust in the Lord, and it's sometimes you don't even understand what that means.
Right. Absolutely.
Right. Mm-hmm. But just having that little mustard seed of faith, like that should give you enough hope not to give up.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, hopefully. Yeah.
Very well said. You know, so as you look back today, during that year and 9 months, would you do anything differently?
I wouldn't.
That's good.
I wouldn't. It happened for a reason. And also, like when I have dark times, I just gain knowledge. Yes. So, you know, I have talents, right? So you have all these gifts that God gives you. I had to pick one. Yes. So I chose real estate. And I just gaining knowledge and wisdom and all that stuff is what, you know, kept me going. I wouldn't change it. Change it for the world.
I want my podcast guests to know that 99.9% of my guests give that answer right there.
Right.
It was a purpose of pain.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, Danielle, there are people out there, we're coming off a couple of years, it's been pretty tough, folks. People have lost finances, lost material possessions, lost loved ones. And even in some situations, Danielle, they've lost hope. Yeah. What can you tell those folks out there listening to let them know that a brighter day is going to come?
Just hold on. Don't give up. Because the enemy, the devil, he wants you to think that you're not enough, that this is the end, that he'll put those negative thoughts into your head. And that's not what the Lord has for us. That's not what he wants for us. You were really, I know it's cliche to say you were born for a purpose or a reason. You really were. And we need you. We need your contribution into this world, into your life, because you don't know, just like we spoke, you don't know who you're going to touch. You have a testimony. If you don't go through anything, how can people relate to you?
Yes, yes.
You'll be looked at as this perfect being when nobody's perfect.
That's right.
And it gives you that, it gives you hope and it gives others hope. So just hold on, because I do see a lot of suicide going on. I do see a lot of people giving up, and that hurts my heart. I'm just like, I wish everybody could know the Lord. And I know it's cliche, everybody talks about that, but when you're really developing a relationship, just like we're talking, that's all he wants from us.
Yeah, absolutely. Very well said, Danielle Thompson. I'm sorry. Danielle, amazing story. Once again, if people out there want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do that?
At Miss Real Estate SD or at Tricen Rocco. That's my IG handles. Facebook, you can just find me Danielle Thompson or Danielle M. Thompson, because you know Danielle is a common name, even though I'm not a common person. But you can add the M, Danielle M. Thompson, across LinkedIn, Facebook, in those platforms.
Awesome. Folks, get out there and support her. Catcher, I think a book is on the way. So again, we're looking for that book as well. But Danielle, we've had a chance to talk about some tough stuff. You ready to have a little fun?
Yeah, let's have it.
All right. So this portion of our show is called our rapid fire purpose questions.
Okay.
Give me and the audience your most concise answer to each of the questions. All right, you ready?
Okay. I'm ready. Okay.
All right, here we go. Danielle, what gives your life meaning?
What gives my life meaning? Oh, okay. Rapid fire. Okay. Jesus Christ. That gives my life meaning.
There you go. What one word best describes you?
Perseverance. I'll say that.
Okay. Awesome. What problem do you want to solve in our world?
Everything. Hunger, building hope. I only said one thing, but there's a lot of things.
Housing, right?
Yes, housing is a very big deal.
Absolutely. Yes. What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Come on, as a kid. What did I like to do? Oh my gosh. I liked being around my family and my cousins and just having, barbecues and all that stuff. I loved getting around with my family.
Hey, I like that.
I did.
What do you wish you had more time to do?
Travel and then actually enjoy life that God has given us. I'd love to. And give back more.
What did your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing today?
I thought I was going to own a restaurant with a hair shop in the back. That's what I thought I was going to be doing.
I like that idea. Okay. All right. Who inspires you the most?
Who inspires me? Okay, I have to say this because, and I know I've been saying his name a lot, but I'm reading my Bible and all that stuff. I love how Jesus walked this earth and how he was towards people.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? I love that. So that I would say that would be my top inspiration.
Good answer. What is on your bucket list to do within the next year?
I'm ready to travel like the world. I got my global entry, so I'm trying to see as many countries as possible. So that's on the bucket list to travel.
That's what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
What's something you'll spend your time doing no matter what?
Giving back and helping people.
Great answer. What do you want your grandchildren to say about you?
Oh, that that they love, that she loved them a lot. She loved helping people, and she was just a woman that didn't take no for an answer and didn't give up. Patience, persistence, and perseverance.
I love it. I love it. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know. You should have gave me some options like A, B, C, or D. What would the superpower be? I don't know. I could teleport myself anywhere I wanted to go.
That'll be a good one. I'm sure people would love that one as well. What sparks your creativity?
The quest for knowledge and learning new things. I love to challenge myself, and I love to learn and read and, you know, gain knowledge. So that'll spark that creativity.
Great answer. Danielle, if you became president today, what law would you pass first?
Dr. Tommy, you put me on the spot. What would I pass first? Oh my gosh. Ah, that's a hard one with all these crazy laws.
Yeah.
I don't know. So it's not going to be all deep. I'm just saying, can we change some tax laws or something?
You get my vote for that one for sure. Yeah. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
Follow someone around for a day? You are catching me off guard with all this. Who would I want to follow around for a day? I don't know. You, let me follow you around for a day.
I don't know. I'll take the answer. Okay. Yeah. What's been the best gift someone's ever given you?
Their time. I don't have like material stuff like that that just gets me over, but just time. Awesome. 'Cause it's valuable.
What's been the best compliment you've ever received?
Best compliment? I would just say when people can recognize my heart and how hard I work to help people. So when I get compliments like that, even though I'm like a shy person, I really am, it still makes me feel good. It lets me know that people, you know, can see that I am working hard for them.
That's awesome. I love it. The Miss Shyness out there. There you go. What's one thing you have never been afraid to do?
Go after the things that I want.
Yeah. Yeah. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
This is the first one that popped into my head. What's funny, I think it kind of set me up for being a realtor, which I didn't even know that's where, like, what I wanted to do in life. But there was a friend that I would go to her house all the time, and we were knocking on the doors with her red little wagon. We put a whole bunch of stuff in there. We was knocking on people's random doors to have them buy some things, because we wanted to, we were going to church camp and we wanted to get these little Nike jerseys.
Okay. Awesome. That's ambitious. I love it. I love it.
And we both ended up in real estate.
That's what I'm talking about. Heaven sent.
Right.
What does success look like for you?
Okay, for me, it's having the freedom to live the life that I want and to be able to, you know, give and do without any restrictions.
Awesome. Great answer. What are you most grateful for?
My experiences, my family, the lessons learned. I'm grateful for those. For Jesus.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. What's been the biggest lesson you have learned in life?
The biggest lesson, well, besides living in my car, just not to give up.
Yeah.
To keep fighting, to be resilient, and to just have some faith and hope that you will get through whatever's challenging you at the moment.
Absolutely. And last but not least, Danielle, how do you want to be remembered in history?
How do I want to be remembered in history? You know what? Just a woman that truly cared about people. You know, got to at least once, you know, enjoy the life that we were blessed with, but really helped people and made some changes and made some differences in the world with the things that I plan to create and get out there. So
Awesome. Danielle Thompson, you survived. Give yourself a round of applause.
Thank you.
Awesome job. Awesome job. Folks out there, you make sure you follow Danielle. Great story. Great young lady. If you're looking for real estate investments, you got to definitely reach out to her and her organization for sure. So Danielle, last but not least, our podcast centers around two things.
Okay.
Purpose and resiliency. What last words can you leave our audience with around purpose and resiliency?
You have a purpose in this life. So please don't ever think for one moment that you don't. Don't allow social media or anyone to tear you down, because you do have a purpose. So start, it doesn't have to be perfect, just do it. That's what I'm learning. And be resilient and have faith with that resilience, because God created you for a reason. You're supposed to be here.
Absolutely. Folks, I hope you guys have been inspired by Danielle Thompson's story. See her. Hey, if you're someone out there and you have a story of overcoming, we want you to go to tawatson.com, share your story with us. Subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. Download this episode, rate it, share it with your folks on social media. And everyone else out there, I want to thank you guys for joining us. Danielle Thompson, thank you as well. Everyone
thank
out
you,
there.
Dr. Tommy.
Peace. Yours truly, Dr. Watson.